This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Today, I want to talk to you, preach to you on the unknowable ways of God. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 5. Let's read together. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order. They cannot be declared. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. It's interesting to me that the sweet psalmist of Israel is about to tune up his harp and he's getting ready to sing another song. And he's going to preach and he's going to declare the truth of God Almighty. Now, if you look at the beginning of Psalm chapter 40 at the heading right above verse number 1, you're going to see that it says to the chief musician. Anytime that you see that phrase in the book of Psalms, that is where King David would write down a lesson that he had learned. And it was such an important lesson that he wanted to give it to the chief musician, and they would put it to music because he wanted all of Israel to know the lesson and to sing and to remember that lesson. So anytime that you see the phrase to the chief musician, you got to remember that David wants that lesson to be learned by everybody. Now here's what you've got to remember. When David wants a lesson learned by everybody, that means he just learned that lesson. And if he just learned that lesson, then he has just come through an experience. And here is what I'm reminded of when I read these psalms that David writes to the chief musician. Lessons are always easier learned when you're done with them. But how many times have we been in places and been in problems in the middle of that, and we say, God, what in the world are you doing? And we don't understand why we're going through it. We don't understand why God's allowed it to happen. But yet when we get through it, when we get past it, when we get beyond it, God, we say, Lord, we know that you know what you are doing. And I don't understand why it had to happen like that, but God, you did what was best. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have got to understand, David gets to the end of his trial, gets to the end of his problem, and this is what he says. He says, God, when I look back at your words, when I look back at your ways, when I look back at your works, he said, I can't count them, I can't name them, and I cannot understand them. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are in the midst of a trial right now. There's no need to sugarcoat it. There's no need to look beyond it. There's no need to look past it. I don't understand this thing. I can't figure it out. In fact, this morning I was studying to preach a message and I was going to answer the question, God, what are you doing? But here's the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is, we don't know what God's doing. We cannot know altogether why God is doing what He's doing, how God's doing what He's doing, and what will happen when God is done doing what He's doing. Because the ways of God are unknowable, as David said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm telling you. There are things that are happening in your life beyond the coronavirus, beyond the government, beyond the shutdown, beyond quarantines, wherever you're watching. There are people that watch in California. We have people that call in every week and they watch us in California. We've got people in New York and you're all shut down and you cannot go anywhere. You can go outside to take a walk, let your dog out, and then bring them back and go back to doing what you were doing. Here's what we say. God, we don't understand why you're doing this. And when we try to figure this thing out, it will drive us crazy. You know why we cannot know the ways of God? Let me give you three things. I want you to write them down very quickly. Number one, the reason we cannot know the ways of God is because of what He knows. Do you understand what God knows versus what you and I know? Write that down. You and I cannot know the ways of God because He knows more than we know. Let me give you a verse in Isaiah chapter number 40 and Psalm 147 and verse number 5. Watch what David said. He said, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about God, we are not talking about somebody that is smart. We are not talking about somebody that is wise. We're not talking about somebody that has a high IQ. We are talking about the very source of wisdom. You and I, we study nuclear physics, but God is the creator of nuclear fission and fusion. When you and I study trigonometry, we do the best we can to understand it. But God is the one that created trigonometry. When you and I study languages, we study it to the best of our ability, and we'll say that people are masters of that. But yet, whenever we think about God, you've got to understand He is the creator of French and of Hebrew and of English and of Russian and of Chinese and of all the languages. Therefore, when you and I come and we say, "God, I think I've got this thing figured out. I've got enough wisdom." This is what God says. God says, "Your brain is not dare big enough. It's not slightly big enough. It's not closely big enough to comprehend what the mind of the infinite is thinking." In your life, brother, sister, you may say, "God, I think I've got this thing figured out." Lord have mercy. God knows I've tried to do that. I've said, "God, I think I've wrapped my mind around what you're doing." You can't wrap your mind around infinity. You cannot wrap your mind around eternality. And God's wisdom is far beyond our ability to understand it. He's wiser than we are. He's smarter than we are. He's greater than we are. And He knows more than we do. So when you cannot know the ways of God, you have to say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I know you are wise beyond reason and you understand it." The second reason we cannot know the ways of God is because of what He is. The reason we cannot understand the ways of God is because our nature and God's nature are completely and totally separate. What do you mean? Well, here's what you got to understand. Notice what it says in Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" When you and I look at things, when you and I try to comprehend things, we are looking through the darkened lens of our sin nature. You and I are looking through the darkened scope and telescope of our human depravity. Here's what that means. It means you and I, when we look at things, we're looking with one eye shut with sin, which doesn't allow us to see the whole picture. But yet when God sees the picture, He's looking at it through purity. He's looking at it through holiness. He's looking at it and He's saying, "I know everything, because God's ways are not darkened by the sin nature of humanity." Ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that God does, and I don't understand that. But God does them because He is holy. Now, I'm going to say something. I know it will not be popular, but I think we've crossed that bridge before, brothers and sisters. But you and I do understand that we are dead the moment we are born. We are born sinners. We have sin in our very blood the second that we are conceived in our mother's womb. And because we have the blood of our father Adam flowing in our veins, we are condemned to death already. Therefore, you and I got to understand, if coronavirus doesn't get us, and if influenza doesn't get us, old age is going to get us. And if old age doesn't take us out, heart disease is going to take us out. And bless brother, I'll tell you, if heart disease don't take us out, these crazy drivers out here on the road very well may do it themselves. Here's what I'm saying. We look through the lens and we say, "God, how could you do that?" But what you've got to understand is that God is holy, and because of what and who He is, we cannot know the ways of God completely. But there's a third reason why we cannot know the ways of God. The first reason, because of what He knows. The second reason, because of who He is. But the third reason we cannot know the ways of God is because of what He sees. Because of what God sees. Now, you say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Here's what I'm saying. We see the small picture God sees the whole picture. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13, verse number 12, notice what the Apostle Paul says. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. You and I have a problem. I have a big problem. And here is what I see. What I see is my little life. I see my little reality. I see my little 75 years of living. I see my little scope of time. But yet you and I have got to understand, God doesn't just see my life, He sees your life. God doesn't just have my life to deal with, He's got your life to deal with. He doesn't just have a wife's life to deal with, He has a husband's life to deal with. And you and I have this pride-filled nature, and we think the entire world revolves around us. Our kids revolve around us, and we've got this sick little thing that we do, and we try to concoct it and contort it, and we try to say, well, I really do care about you. I have your best interest at heart, when really we have their best interest at heart as long as it serves our best interest. But God is not like that. He's not just thinking about this one. He's not just thinking about this one. He's not just thinking about this one. But God sees the entire picture. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand coronavirus. I don't understand influenza. I don't even understand the IRS. Somebody say amen right there. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. God understands it all, and God sees the entire picture of what He is trying to bring to pass. And because God sees the whole picture, and I see but a little glimpse of the picture, then God knows way more than I know, and I cannot know as much as God knows. But I want you to understand this. He doesn't just see our lives, but He sees the entire timeline of the human story. And beyond the human story, He sees eternity past and He sees eternity future. And all of the story of humanity is His story. Everything that God does, He's trying to revolve it around that day when Jesus Christ comes out of heaven and sets His throne up in Jerusalem. Good God in heaven, here's what I'm telling you. We may not understand. We see in part. But what God is doing in the whole scheme of humanity is He's bringing it to a head when Jesus comes and descends out of heaven and lands on the Mount of Olives and kills the Antichrist and slays all of His hordes and all of His armies, and He sets up His throne in Jerusalem, and for 1,000 years He rules and reigns in Jerusalem. God's doing everything for the big picture. Therefore, I can't understand it because I look at the small picture. You and I have got to understand, we cannot know the ways of God. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. If you've lived in the last 2 weeks, you already know this thing is bigger than we are. But yet I know this. I may not be able to understand the mind of God. Now hear me. When I cannot understand His mind, I can understand His heart. People ask me, are you afraid? I'm not afraid at all. Now, I'm afraid and I'm scared they're going to take all the old Marita bread down here at the store. But I'm not afraid of what this whole thing's going to play out. You know why? You say you think people are going to die? Sadly, a lot of people may die. Are you afraid that the nation's economy may recover? I don't have any idea. I'm not an economist, but I do know this. I know when I can understand the brain and the mind of God, I always know the heart of God. Here is the heart of God, God's glory and the good of His people. You say, what's God doing? I don't know what He's doing, but I know why He's doing it. He's doing it to bring His name, glory, and His people good. Now, good is not prosperity. Good is not a dollar. Good is the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what God's doing right now in the whole of the church. He's ripping back things that don't matter. He's tearing back things that don't make any sense. And He's making the church of Jesus, I'm talking about the true blood-bought, blood-born, blood-washed, blood-baptized church of the living God. I'm not talking about man-centered church. I'm talking about that church, those of you right now, that the Holy Ghost is a pumping in your heart and a ripping in your soul and telling you everything is still all right in the Father's house. Here's what He's doing with that church. He's bringing glory to the name of Christ in that church, and He's making that church look more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust God. Therefore, I have three lessons I want to give you. Number one, here's the first lesson I want to give you. Since I know that I can trust God even when I can't know what He's doing, number one, I can have peace in the midst of distress. I can have peace in the presence of distress. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want you to understand. What you have to understand is peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of knowledge. Whenever you know that God is in control, it will take all the fear out of the way. Whenever you understand that God was not surprised by Corona or COVID, whenever you know that God was not caught off guard, well, though the governments may have been caught off guard, then you can say, God, I may not know what You're doing, but I know that You are doing it. Lord God, have mercy. Somebody write that down. I may not know what You're doing, but I know that You are the one doing it. Now here's what I'm telling you. Whenever you know that the storm that's come upon your life, whenever you know that it is a storm that God has allowed to be, and God has got His hands wrapped around it, and if God doesn't have His hands wrapped around it, glory to God, just like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, He can in one word say, peace be still, and the clouds will roll back, and the thunder will stop clapping, and the lightning will stop flashing, and the rain will stop falling. When you got a God that big, you can stand on the boat like the disciples and say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him? Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God. I've got peace in this trial because I know God is doing what God wants to do, and He'll bring to pass His will. Therefore, I have peace in the presence of distress. Time out. Can I say something? This thing is not good. There ain't no need to sugarcoat it. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care why it's come. I don't care if it's political, religious. I'm just telling you, it is a distress. You don't believe it's a distress? You ask the businessman right now. You ask the small business person that's self-employed if it's bad. But brothers and sisters, here's what we can have. We can have peace in the midst of this, because we know God is in control. The second lesson that you and I can have, since God knows what He's doing even when I don't, I can have peace in the presence of distress. But number two, I can have trust in the presence of testing. Was it not Brother Job, ladies and gentlemen, that said this? He knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. There are moms right now that are single mothers, and you are not just dealing with this thing. That we've got to understand, it's not just a virus that people are dealing with. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're dealing with sickness, and they're dealing with cancer, and they're dealing with financial woes, and this is just piled on top. There are people that are dealing with marriage woes. There are people that are dealing with children woes, and all this is done is piled on top. But here is what I know. I do know that there is a God in heaven, and He is with me in the fire, and He has not come to deliver me from the fire, but He's come to give me power in the fire. And God will do that. And right now, I don't know which way this will go. I don't know which way your situation will go, but I do know this. I know that our God is in control, and I do know that our God knows what He's doing, and I know that God will bring it forth. And when we get done with this thing, and when this trial is over, if we'll humble ourselves ourselves before the God of heaven. And if we'll lift our eyes unto the hills whence cometh our help, and we'll say, God, we trust in you, then God will bring us out of the test, and we will shine like a pretty penny that's been put through the fire and the cleaning process. Glory to God. What I'm telling you is we can trust God in the midst of the testing. But here's the third lesson, and I'm going to get real practical before I get to the end. Here's my third lesson I want you to know. I don't know the ways of God. I can't fully understand them, but here's the third lesson. I can gain insight in the presence of catastrophe. I can gain insight in the presence of catastrophe. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means this. There was a philosopher, and this is what he said. He said, he who does not learn from history is doomed to repeat its mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at this thing, this coronavirus, this sickness, this economic collapse that's going on around us, if we don't look at that and learn something from that, brothers and sisters, we're out of our minds. You know, right now, there are families, and you are going to get by. God's going to let you get by. But you need to know this. The lesson of every family in this thing ought to be this lesson. God, get me out of debt. Lord, get me out. I cannot live under the weight of debt. You need to pay off everything. I'm not a financial guru. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It says, owe no man anything. We've got to learn. What's going to happen one day when all of this goes away, falls by the wayside? What are we going to do then? Who's going to bail it? Listen, brothers and sisters, God will teach you a lesson in the fire, but if you go back through the same fire and you hadn't learned a lesson, God may not help you in that lesson. Listen, brothers and sisters, businessmen, we need to operate wisely. We need to pay off our debts. We need to live meagerly and humbly before God Almighty. We don't need to have millions and millions of this in debt, furniture and car. We better learn from this. Churches better learn. I was just talking to the guys upstairs a while ago. We better put a plan in place if something like this happens. God's let us go through this, ladies and gentlemen, so that we can learn how to operate. What are we going to do one day if the church can't meet? What are we going to do one day if the government comes in and says, you cannot meet, you will not marry homosexuals, you can't meet? What are we going to do? We're just going to fold up and go? No, we better put a plan in place. Do you know what God does in the midst of trials? We don't understand what God is doing, but we can say, God, I can learn something. I don't understand what God's doing, but I know God is the one allowing it to happen. Let me tell you a story right quick if I can. There are many people right now, and you're so worried. You're so distressed. You're so torn down. Pastors that tell me, we had such momentum in the church. Our family was finally getting ahead financially. And all of a sudden, this comes and wipes it out. Let me tell you a story. I heard the story of this little boy who wanted so badly to go to a friend's birthday party. He begged and begged his daddy. He said, Daddy, please, can I go? But the daddy had heard there was a blizzard coming. And he was going to have to walk to the boy's house. And the daddy said, son, it's just too dangerous. It's far too dangerous for you to go to that birthday party. Little boy begged him, daddy, please, please, can I go, please? Finally, the daddy relented and he said, all right, you can go. The little boy bundled up in all of his coats and his scarves and his toboggans and his gloves, and he goes out, and I mean the snow and the wind are driving. If you've ever been up north in a blizzard, you know what I'm talking about. Just blowing from side to side. He could barely see his hand in front of his face, but he walked in the direction of that little friend's house to go to that birthday party. It was a little present under his arm. And when he got there, he gets up to the door and he turned around. And off in the distance, he saw a shadowy figure that when he reached the steps, that figure turned around and went back, and he realized it was his father. His daddy had followed him through the entire storm just to make sure he reached his destination. Mom, dad, college student, senior citizen, right now it feels like the waves are rolling up over your vessel. We don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. And it looks like the winds and the rains of adversity are going to blow us away. One day we'll reach where God wants us to reach. One day we'll get on the doorstep of that place. And in our wisdom, we'll turn back and we'll see off in the distance a shadowy figure. And we'll realize that God was with us the whole time. Right there where you're at, for just a moment. Before that we leave, I want to pray with you. And maybe your heart is broken. Maybe you've been so busy trying to figure out the ways of God, you can't know them. You just have to trust the Lord is going to take you. Psalm 4:4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune upon your own bed and stand still. Trust the Lord. Right there where you're at, if your wife is with you, your husband, your children, grab them by the hand. Around that little family altar, whoever's the head of the home, I want you to pray and just ask the Lord to take care of you. Ask the Lord not to let you go to the left hand or to the right hand.